Have Nephilim genes finally been discovered? Big news. Also, what is the true spiritual danger over at Mount Shasta? We're going to talk about all that and so much more on today's Peck Report. Hey, everybody. We have a lot to talk about today. I hope you are having a great day. Hope you have been enjoying this new round of Peck Reports that we've been able to put out. Again, like I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to do them every day, but we're going to do our best. And I say we because we are joined today in studio by Christina Peck. I don't know the right. We are joined by.
There we go.
We'll go with that one. I think that's the right one. How you doing, Christina?
I'm awesome. Hey, guys. You know, I've been MIA. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to be here for all of these, but good news. Nathan is starting the beginning of the end of everything. We just have, if all goes well, just 840 more days.
It's a long ending, but.
Oh, yes. I know. It's the longest part of all of this, but this is what we're doing.
It's the final phase of treatment.
It is. And included with this treatment is a lot of juicing. A lot of extra vitamins, a lot of detox smoothies and everything. And he loves them. So I've been doing all that and I'm getting recipes up online for the juices. So, and a lot of people have already saving them. So if you want them, not only for cancer, but for health reasons, you know, I make them for Josh and I.
Yeah, I take them too.
Josh takes them too. Go check them out. And, but I'm really excited to be back.
Yeah.
Everything. They're all good news on Nathan. Everybody's always asking me for updates. Go check out Nathan's journey for all of those.
Yes, definitely. And we got some big things coming up on Peck Report. We are, Christina and I had like a brainstorming session the other night on how we can improve this service, how we can make it just as good as it can possibly be, and how we can really compete with everything that's out there now. We want to make the Netflix of Fringe Christianity. So I explained a little bit about it in the past couple of Peck Reports, but in case you missed it, basically what we want to do, we're going to be reaching out to some other content creators to and we're going to ask if they will allow us to repost their content, not on our YouTube channel, but on our website. So that way, if you sign up to be a member of Daily Renegade, you'll have access not only to Daily Renegade originals, such as Peck Report, Peck Underground Church, Women Glorifying God, Apollineering, Christian Contrarian, Through the Black Uncensored. I think we got about a dozen shows now, and we have about half a dozen more that's going to come up shortly. Not only will you get the originals, but you'll also get some of your favorite speakers, some of your favorite shows in Fringe Christianity today right there in the same spot. So you don't have to search all over YouTube for everybody. You'll just get it in one central hub. That's what we're looking to build. So it's going to take some time to do that, but that's what we're looking at, and we're really excited about it. The reason that came about was because, as you know, YouTube demonetized us, and I have reason to believe, I don't know if YouTube is allowing us to be seen in certain search results or certain suggested results. I don't know for sure. I have reason to believe that they've taken us off of quite a bit of those. So because of that, we got to do something to compete. So that's the plan. We're also going to keep producing original. But that's why I said it's going to be like the Netflix of Fringe Christianity. So ditch the flicks. Ditch Netflix. Get rid of Netflix. It's not worth it. They bash Christianity. It's an evil corporation. Get rid of them and come over and be a member of Daily Renegade. And we'll tell you a little
not
bit later
mention,
how you can do that.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I was
Not to mention, we have original content creators who are also hosts of different shows who are going to be starting to do documentaries and things like that over the course of the next few months, even over the course of the next few years. Even my good friend Sandy, who I do Women Glorifying God with, is planning on starting a documentary series as well. And
yes,
that's only going to be available first-handedly on Daily Renegade, and then of course she owns all the rights to it and all that stuff too, so
but
she can do whatever.
But you'll only be able to get it
here.
And included with that, talking about documentaries, I have talked with the man behind the amazing YouTube channel End Time Productions, and he's going to be producing some content for us too. Again, only exclusive to, it's just exclusively for Daily Renegade members. So I cannot promise that the price will not increase for new members. Get a membership today while it's still cheap. As long as you're an existing member, your price doesn't go up. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but we got to talk about some Nephilim because I have a feeling people are like, all right, we get it. Your service is so amazing and great, and we all know this already because we're all members and we all love it so much. I can't take it anymore. I need to learn about the Nephilim. So, scholars... this actually made big news last week, but we had a super busy week and
we
couldn't get to it. But so it's not exactly old news, but it's not really exactly new either. But there are a lot of details that's not known to the public. So or at least not commonly known, I should say. Scholars have now said Philistine genes help solve biblical mystery. Now, the Philistines, we know that there was some Nephilim influence in there because of Goliath. And many news agencies have reported on this. The one that we're looking at today comes from WPRI.com. But it says, Goliath, the Greek, could he possibly be Greek? Is there some Greek influence? And this is interesting too, because, of all the Greek mythology that does have ties back to Nephilim. This just opens up a wide thing, but let's get to the point. Mm-hmm. So human remains from an ancient cemetery in southern Israel have yielded precious bits of DNA that a new study says help prove the European origin of the Philistines, this enigmatic nemesis of the biblical Israelites. So the Philistines mostly resided in five cities along the southern coast of what is today Israel in the Gaza Strip during the early Iron Age, around 3,000 years ago. In the Bible, David fought the Philistine giant Goliath in a duel, and Samson slew 1,000 of their warriors with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, many archaeologists have proposed that they migrated to the coast of the ancient Near East during a period of upheaval at the end of the late Bronze Age around 1200 BC. So the Philistines emerged as other societies around the Eastern Mediterranean collapsed, possibly because of a cataclysmic intersection of, you know, climate change, man-made disasters, stuff like that. Philistine ceramics bear similarities to styles found in the Aegean, but concrete evidence of their geographic origins has remained elusive until now. So, now, a study of genetic material extracted from skeletons unearthed in the Israeli coast of Ashkelon in 2013 has found a DNA link. It connects the Philistines to populations in southern Europe during the Bronze Age. Now, isn't that interesting? Because we've known for a while there's some connection between the Nephilim, what happened in Genesis 6, and the Greeks. Because not only are the stories so similar when you look into Greek mythology, but when you look at like what Zeus really was, Zeus has a grave. You know, gods don't have graves because gods don't die. They're immortal.
Right.
Zeus was a hybrid of some kind. But we also know that in like the book of Peter, even in the New Testament, they use Greek terminology, Greek even mythology, to explain their points. So, for example, Tartarus is mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now, in the English, it's translated as hell or Hades or the abode or the abyss, you know, all these things. But when you look at the Greek, it's specifically Tartarus, which in Greek mythology was the holding cell of beings that were so evil.
The underworld.
And it was a holding cell. It's like out of Genesis 6.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting that the Philistines, which Goliath was a part, and we know that Goliath had some kind of Nephilimery going on with him because he was a giant. Isn't that interesting that they come from this same area?
Yeah, I always loved the story of Troy, you know, and that was supposedly a fictional battle until they discovered it.
Right.
You know, archaeologists, they all just discovered that. And so when you look at the Iliad and the Odyssey from Homer, and was it Homer? It was Homer. Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, right? I'm trying to get my history straight.
I hope I'm right. I hope so. Otherwise, you're wrong and you're an embarrassment to Peck
Report. I know, and I should feel bad. No. I always found it fascinating. And there was the way we read it I read it my freshman year of high school. It always seemed so real.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it seems so real to me. Like, why would this be just fiction. I mean, somebody has a great imagination if it's all false.
Right.
It just seems so real.
I was obsessed with Greek mythology in high school,
too.
A lot of people were.
I was, too. Greek and Roman. And then, you know what? Egyptian mythology and things like that always creep me out.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
It seemed darker,
It's just really dark. But it's fascinating nowadays that they're able to find these sites, mm-hmm. and we can tie it all back to the Bible. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really interesting, too, because even the Bible that we have, I mean, the Old Testament is primarily in Hebrew, and the New Testament is primarily in Greek. And that's just really interesting that, you know, that if this DNA evidence is true, and it seems like it is, there's no reason to doubt it, but if it's true, it's really interesting that the Philistines, or part of this Nephilim genealogy. I'm not saying all Philistines were Nephilim, but at least one was. At least one had something going on with him. Possibly, well, he had brothers too. But that they came from this area. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is some stuff in Greek mythology that actually was true. Now the interpretation isn't true. You know, Zeus wasn't a god.
No.
But I could fully believe that Zeus was some type of hybrid that was way more powerful than human beings were, and human beings, ancient Greeks, probably did worship him because of that.
I have a question for you, and maybe you guys too in the comments, you can kind of leave a comment. There has been speculation on who Hercules was. Some say it could have been Samson, because the way he traveled around the time of the Iliad and Odyssey, the Troy, mm-hmm. you know, battle. Some say he could have been Hercules. What do you think?
Well, they come from totally different areas, so
right.
I don't know enough about Hercules to really know. But I do. But you do find a Herculean figure, you know, that type of archetype. You do find that in pretty much any ancient story, which is strange.
This is true.
I would look at it, if Hercules was, okay, the son of Zeus, so he was a little bit less, if Zeus was already a demigod, you know, and I know in Greek mythology, like, Zeus was a god, but again, Zeus had a grave. So let's say, like, in the real physical world, if there was a Nephilim or a giant named Zeus, and he had a son, then some of that genealogy would have been passed on to him too. Maybe Hercules is the anti-Samson.
Maybe
Samson
good,
is like the biblical godly figure, but then because, I mean, you think about it, these fallen angels at some point before they became corrupt, as you know, what's recorded in Deuteronomy, they were put in charge of all these different areas, and then they all got corrupt. So that's why you see a repeat of the same story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could also harken back to the days before Babel, or the days of the Tower of Babel, where something might have happened then. You have one story, but then they all get split apart, and everybody gets different languages, and then they tell the same story, but you know, they're all in different languages. So there's different names for, like, the Noah figure, and there's different names for a Nimrod figure. So that could play an element in it too, why you get the same type of story. It wouldn't be the case for Israel, because mm-hmm. as we know, Deuteronomy says that Israel was God's portion. So that could be an example of kind of historical cycles repeating themselves. But with Israel's history, you actually get the good guy, you actually get the real true story. Whereas it's like God trying to tell you the truth, like the real story based in truth, and he's using
else is playing telephone.
Yeah, and
he's using
yeah, yep. Exactly. That's a good way to put it. He's using history. He's using actual events to communicate a truth or to communicate a story, whereas the rest of them are copycats. So telephone is a good way to put it. But yeah, we would absolutely love to know what you guys think about that in the comment section below. One of these days we'll do a Peck report on Hercules. I got to do some research into him.
Me too.
So continuing on, it says the study spearheaded by researchers from Germany's Max Planck Institute and Wheaton College in Illinois was published Wednesday in the research journal Science Advances. The biblical account relates that the Philistines originally hailed from a distant isle. The Egyptian temple built by Ramses III bears reliefs of patterns with sea peoples who appeared on the shores of the eastern Mediterranean. One group listed in the Egyptian text is strikingly similar to the Hebrew name for Philistines. Excavations of Philistine sites have found ceramics and architecture that differed from those of the neighbors in ancient Canaan. You know, it's interesting. I wonder if this has an Atlantis connection, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing that I always found interesting was Atlantis.
Yeah, actually, Dr. Michael Heiser just recently, maybe a few weeks ago, put out a whole study into Atlantis on his Fringe Pop 321 channel on YouTube. So you guys should check that out. Fringe Pop 321 Atlantis, Dr. Michael Heiser.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, a lot of excellent information. And it really cuts through a lot of the garbage stuff that's out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
And gets to the heart of it. But it says, archaeologists can't be absolutely certain that different pots mean different people, so different ceramics and things. Eric Klein, who's an archaeologist from George Washington University, specializing in the Late Bronze Age in the Near East, said conclusive evidence has eluded scientists until now, even if the material remains have indicated that the Philistines migrated to the Levant from the Aegean around 1200 BC. Klein, who was not involved in the study, is the author of 1177 BC, The Year Civilization Collapsed, which examines the period when the Philistines arrived. He called the paper's findings, quote, extremely exciting and very important, end quote, by helping resolve the longstanding mystery about their origins. So he says, quote, we were all hoping that it might be possible to get genetic information like this. Now we have scientific confirmation from DNA that the Philistines do indeed most likely come from that region, end quote. The researchers looked at DNA from 10 skeletons excavated from the ancient cemetery in Ashkelon, one of the Philistine seaports. Using carbon-14 dating technology, three were determined to be from the centuries before the Philistines' presumed arrival around 1200 BC. Four were from the period immediately afterward, and three, dated to centuries further on, the late Iron Age. The study found that the remains dating to the early Iron Age, the period associated with many of the stories involving Philistines in the Bible, So the ads annoy us too. we get people that complain about the ads on our YouTube channel because of interruptions like that, but it annoys us too.
It happens.
Well, we don't have ads on our channel anymore.
No, because YouTube said we can't have them anymore. Because
yeah,
anyway. You know what? We're too good for YouTube.
Yeah, you know what? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But the study found that the remains dating to the early Iron Age. We'll go over just this last sentence again because that interruption. It was the period associated with many of the stories involving Philistines in the Bible, were genetically distinct from their Levantine neighbors and had close similarities with populations in southern Europe. So here's another quote. This is from Daniel Master, who's an archaeologist with Wheaton College, who headed the expedition in Ashkelon. He says, quote, we see in their DNA a European component from the West that appears in a substantial enough way that we can demonstrate it statistically. We can show that it's different. It basically says the people came from outside, not just the style of pottery, end quote. He said the findings were direct evidence that the cultural change found in Philistine cities reflected the migration of a group of people. The DNA from the later individuals found that they had some southern European genes, but appeared much closer to the surrounding Canaanite population. So he also says, this is a quote from Michael Feldman, who's an archaeologist at the Planck Institute, one of the paper's lead authors, says, quote, this was the pulse of people coming in, and then they kind of mixed into the local population. So a few hundred years later, they are almost indistinguishable from surrounding Levantine gene pool, end quote. So the results point to a possible southern European origin for the Philistines, anywhere from Cyprus to Sardinia. Interesting. But further study of ancient remains is needed to narrow down the search. So last quote here from Feldman says, quote, until we have more samples from the neighboring regions and from the Philistines themselves, I don't think we can pinpoint better their homeland or homelands, end quote. I'd say that's still pretty pinpointed. Sardinia is interesting. Our good friend Timothy Alberino has been there a number of times and has found all sorts of evidence pointing to giants in that region.
Yep.
Isn't it interesting that the Philistines that battled the Israelites come from that region genetically?
It is, and you and I also interviewed Timothy Alberino on Into the Multiverse about this when he just came back from Sardinia, and he was also interviewed on Ancient Aliens, in Sardinia about the caverns that they found below and of where the giants were. And some of the times, like, people still don't go down in certain ones. And I mean, it's very fascinating. I think it's awesome. It's cool that they finally found something that ties all that together.
Yeah, something scientific.
Yes.
You know, it's actually
something
funny.
Something I can see.
It's kind of funny, just a funny story about that. When he was being filmed for Ancient Aliens, at the same time I was being filmed for In Search Of, but neither of us knew that. Like,
nope.
I didn't know that about Tim, and Tim didn't know that about me, because we had to sign non-disclosure agreements. We couldn't talk about it until after it aired. So it was funny, because the same week that my In Search Of episode played, his Ancient Aliens episode played, which was pretty funny. So that's how I mean, he and I are really good friends, so it was funny that we didn't know that about each other until they aired. But
another funny thing, I remember his wife Jasmine was on. I saw a post of her saying, check out Ancient Aliens tonight and see a certain someone. You know, she couldn't say his name or anything.
Yeah.
And so we all kind of got it. We read between the lines, but she's like, Timothy who? I don't know what you're talking about. No.
Speaking of Jasmine, I think it's really funny. Our son, Nathan, the one that battled leukemia, and he won his battle with leukemia, he's got the biggest crush on Jasmine. It is so funny.
It's
Tim,
adorable.
You got some competition.
It is adorable. When we went to the Genesics conference last summer or the summer before,
it was one of these times.
It was one of whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I do believe it was last summer, because they went to the hotel, there's a big pool party and all that.
Yeah, it was
stuff.
That time we almost died because that
because
ceiling.
That chandelier fell from the ceiling.
Oh man. Yeah, well, we got
and
two
hit
stories
the table
here.
And yeah. Then the table flipped over and I was like, wow, because I was pushing Adam in the stroller and I was like, my,
you know what, we know
year
what,
and a half year old was right there, and the chandelier was right there.
We know what we're talking about, but nobody knows that story. We got to tell that story, but yeah, first, so
yeah,
it was around
later.
That same time. But every time Nathan sees Jasmine, he's always, pick me up, give me a hug. And you know, he's five, so he's not like a 2-year-old. Like, he knows what he's doing.
And this is only last year. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, and like, he'll blush and get all shy, and he's got a crush. And it's really funny to
adorable.
Tim's got competition.
I got other cute stories about Nathan and girls he has crushes on. It's adorable.
Yeah, but yeah, that hotel, it was one of those conferences. We were standing around talking together. It was me, we were in a big group. It was me, you, I think Darren Geisinger was there, Tim and Jasmine, our kids, Anselm P. Rambla was there. We were talking with him and a couple other people. And we were in this big hotel with this really, really high ceiling. And all of a sudden, we hear right next to us this loud crash. And we all looked over, and there's just shattered glass. Just a foot, a couple of feet away from us. I mean, it's close enough that the glass could have flown off and cut us.
It almost hit the stroller with Adam in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was pushing Adam. Adam was a year and a half, almost two. And I was pushing him, and all of a sudden, this thing comes down from the ceiling and hits the glass table.
Yeah.
That was behind the couch where you guys were standing.
Yeah, if anybody was standing there, it would have killed him.
Yeah,
I mean, that thing was so high up. Like,
yeah,
it would be surprising if anybody would have survived that. But thanks be to God, he was watching out for us, and we weren't standing 2 feet, you know, to our left. So that was
my
good.
Word, it was crazy.
We have to talk about Mount Shasta, spirits and danger on a sacred California mountain. But before we do that, we should probably tell people about CBD. Let's go with CBD.
Got CBD up.
I gotta tell you guys. Once I just had so many people telling me, you got to try CBD. You got to try it. And I was suspicious of it, because somebody had sent me a free sample, and it didn't do anything for me when I first took it. It was like I don't know if it was a homemade thing or what, but it was a friend of mine, so it's not like some random person online sent it to me and I just ingested it. But I tried it. Yeah. I tried it, didn't do anything, and I was like, this isn't for me. Well, then I discovered CBD Pure and CBD Pets, and I heard so many people saying that they just had wonderful experiences with this, so I decided to give it another shot. I have been taking CBD Pure, specifically this brand. I've been taking it every night, an hour before I go to sleep. I sleep better than I have in years, and I actually dream again the way that I used to when I was a kid. And you know, it's actually really nice. I kind of lost my dreams as an adult, but they're like coming back now, which is great. But really vivid, you know, nice dreams and everything. So for me, It helps me sleep, but also I haven't needed as much kratom, which I'll tell you about kratom in a minute here. If you're a chronic pain sufferer like I am, it can help you. But I haven't had to take as much kratom since I've been taking CBD every day. So CBD Pure and CBD Pets, in my opinion, is the best on the market because it's non-GMO, it's pesticide-free, there's no hormones, there's no, it's totally organic in every way. But they don't only say that, they back it up by testing through a third-party independent testing facility, so you know there's no bias here. And they test every single batch they make, so you know that it's everything they say it is. It's the best on the market. They put those tests on their website, so you can check it out for yourself. I suggest trying it out. Do your own research. See if you like it. But they also offer a money-back guarantee, so there is no risk. Check it out. Go to dailyrenegade.com and find the banner ad. Or you can just make it really easy on yourself and click on the link in the description below if you're viewing this on YouTube. While you're there, check out our friends at Coastline Kratom. So I mentioned Kratom just a moment ago. So I take Kratom every day. Because I have a chronic pain thing. For one thing, I have a degenerative bone disease. That's painful. But there's also this second mystery thing that doctors have not been able to diagnose. But the results of whatever this is a lot of pain specifically in my hands and feet. It's not arthritis. It's not any of the normal things. I even went through this electroshock type of testing thing where they shoot electrical currents through you to test your nerves. My nerves are fine. So nobody knows what it is. But I have a lot of pain because of that. But not so much anymore. Now, Kratom hasn't completely taken away the pain. You know, it's not a miracle cure or anything. But it definitely reduces it significantly to the point where I can actually work and function and play with my kids and have fun. You know, I'm not bedridden anymore like I used to be. So before Kratom, my life was basically over. But since taking Kratom, I got my life back. There is an opioid crisis in this country. There are people who are profiting from this opioid crisis, and that is why they do not let me post instructional videos or even recommendation videos about Kratom on this YouTube channel. They remove them. There is a video, if you're a member of Daily Renegade, dailyrenegade.com, there is a video on there about Kratom that goes through some of the false reporting of supposed Kratom-related deaths, and I can't talk too much about that or they're going to remove this video, but just suffice it to say, everything is not as it seems with these reports. The reports are very biased to get people away from Kratom because it's getting people successfully off of opioids, off of narcotics, and it's giving them their lives back, but Kratom isn't very profitable, so those in power don't like it. There's a long-standing effort to ban Kratom from the DEA and FDA. So that is why we should stock up now. Coastline Kratom is excellent. You also get a money-back guarantee. Now, you do have to set up a Zelle Pay account on their website. It only takes a minute, but the reason is because of all the political garbage around Kratom. Not many credit card companies want to actually deal in the sale and purchase of Kratom. So you do have to set up a Zelle Pay account, but they make it super easy. It's right on their website. It only takes a second, and it's worth doing because then you can buy as much as you want, and you should stock up because any day now this stuff could be banned. I suggest if you're brand new to Kratom, first, do your research before even attempting to take it. Just do your research. Make sure you feel informed. You know, make sure you are informed about it. But I suggest getting the beginner's enhanced pack. What's great about that is if you have a high tolerance like I do, then it's enhanced, so it's stronger, and you'll be able to find out your tolerance. Now, if it turns out you have a lower tolerance, you're not going to need much of this stuff at all, and it's going to last you a lot longer. So it's best of both worlds. That's what I suggest getting, but there's a wide variety of strains. That's why I like the beginner's pack, because there's also a lot of different strains in there, so you can see what works best for you. Like for me, green strains usually work best for me, or if I need a little bit more energy, white strains are really good. If I'm going to sleep, if it's before bed or something, then I'll take red or yellow. But everybody's different. So, you know, again, do your research. You can find that by going to dailyrenegade.com and finding the banner ad for Coastline Kratom, or very easy, just click on the link in the description below. Check them out. I don't think that you will regret it. All right. So we talked about CBD Pure. We talked about CBD Pets. I think it's time for telling people how they can become a member before we get into Mount Shasta.
I believe it. All right, people. Go to dailyrenegade.com. Sign up to be a member because You'll get all the special things with this show. You'll get all the special things for every show that we do. My friend Sandy and I do a Woman Glorifying God. We go live on Friday nights. We try to make it every Friday, but she's a busy mama four. I'm a busy mama four. Sometimes we get it twice a month. And it's always going to be on a Friday. Anybody who is doing a live show, it's free. And then, but after it's done, we got to take it down so YouTube doesn't flag it and take it down. So go to dailyrenegade.com for all the extra content. Also, if you can't do the $10 a month or the $100 a year, go to dailyrenegade.com anyway. Go find our podcasts. And you get the free audio-only version every time.
Yeah, you won't get all the cool images, or you won't be able to see our beautiful shining faces, but we do want to make the information available. So also that way nobody can accuse us of trying to sell the gospel. I don't know. People come up with crazy stuff. But
I don't know. We're not selling Bibles.
Yeah. Selling the gospel. What do you think you're doing when you buy a Bible? Anyway, nobody's going to ask you for a credit card to tell you about Jesus. But
nope. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But honestly, it's not selling the gospel anyway, because we don't really talk about just the Bible, things that are related to the Bible, but there's a lot of like history, there's a lot of political, there's a lot of a number of things
right.
that all of us, all of the hosts here talk about.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah,
most people know what's going on. Most people aren't
no,
jerks.
No,
and they get
most
it.
Most people have been absolutely amazing.
We do have something else though too. If you want to be a member and can't afford it, but you still want the videos and all that stuff, you can contribute your time to this ministry. Anybody who contributes to the ministry gets a free membership. So what you can do is write. We are looking for some more writers. We want to get some more articles out there. And if you're interested in writing for Daily Renegade, you have to be good at it. You have to be able to cite your sources. You know, you have to be able to write in a way that's not going to drive our editor crazy. You know, it's got to be good. And 2,000 words or more. Send me a sample article if you're interested in writing for us. Topic of your choice. Don't ask me to assign a topic. I'm not going to. I can tell you just some general things that I would like more of, though. I always like prophetic stuff. I think it would be cool to get some political commentary. You know, obviously from like a conservative libertarian point of view, I don't want like a progressive leftist commentary, but Christian point of view would be great. Current events, some investigative reporting, investigative journalism would be great. Some of that stuff I think would be really cool, but it's up to you. So if you want to write and earn a membership that way, and people have been asking me how often do they have to submit an article. At least once a month. I would really prefer more than that, but that is the bare minimum. But you can submit as often as you want. You can do it every day. If you have a website that you want to promote, you can put that in your article. If you have your own affiliate links that you want to do, you can put that in your article. So we'll help you, you know, promote yourself and what you have going on. But your values, I mean, you got to be a Christian, obviously. Your values have to fall in line with ours. You don't have to agree on every point of doctrine. We have writers that don't agree on every single point that they make, but they write about it well, and then the reader gets to decide for himself. So that's what we're looking for. You can write for us. Did I leave anything out?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Become a member today for $10 a month or $100 a year. It is worth it. The $100 a year is the way to go, because then you get 2 months for free. You only have to do it once and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. Isn't that amazing?
Who doesn't love free stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I love free stuff. Yeah. I am cheap.
Yeah, and we're still updating the website. It's coming along great. There's a lot of cool new features on there now that you can go check out. But yeah, go become a member today. So we should probably talk about Mount Shasta.
Yeah, let's talk about some Mount Shasta.
All right, the Mount Shasta stuff, that is going to be for members only. That's why you want to be a member, because then you get the rest of Peck Report on all this stuff that we do. So head on over to dailyrenegade.com, become a member today, and you can watch the rest. So for members, hang on the line. For people who are viewing this for free on Facebook or YouTube or any of our other outlets, thank you so much. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell for notifications, leave us a comment, and share this video with your friends. Let's get a conversation going. So, all right, everybody viewing for free, thank you so much. Until next time, take care. God bless. Okay, members only, Mount Shasta. So this comes from ancientorigins.net. You know, I've actually... I've actually kind of learned more of an appreciation for this website. You know, I don't necessarily love it because it's not Christian, and sometimes it's actually like anti-Christian, you know, depending. But they do have some pretty cool stuff. There is something strange going on Mount Shasta, and the reason that I wanted to talk about this story was we recently have been watching a number of programs on, you know, cryptozoology, on like the David Politis missing 411 stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, we got to get him on the show. Remind me to send him a message. He agreed a couple of years ago to do it, and then I don't know what I was thinking. I just forgot. Like David Politis.
Who forgets?
I know. Like
Josh.
So
Peck, everybody.
That was not cool of me. But we'll get him on, and he's got a new show. But in the first show, they talk about Mount Shasta and stuff. There's something strange going on there. There's a lot of Bigfoot sightings. There's a lot of like spirit sightings, UFO sightings. You've been around Mount Shasta before, haven't you?
I have. I have an aunt and uncle who live in Northern California, Doris, California, to be exact. They live on a up in the mountains of Northern California, and in their backyard, you can see Mount Shasta. It's the most beautiful sight. And it's just gorgeous. My sister and I went there. Oh, goodness. How old am I? I was 15. So this was 18 years ago. 18 years ago. And we were there for a couple of weeks. And it was a beautiful sight. Absolutely beautiful. Very strange things happen up there in Northern California, though.
Did you see or feel anything strange?
Okay. So I wasn't. We could see Mount Shasta in the backyard, but we weren't like super, super close to it. But there are still some strange things that my sister and I have encountered up there.
Huh.
My uncle, for one, said that he might have seen something resembling a Bigfoot.
Oh, wow.
It was at the corner of his eye. Mm-hmm. He moves a lot of trees and timber out of the way, and this was back when there was a lot of wildfires. We went to visit Crater Lake in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
But there was so much smoke you couldn't even see anything.
Right.
So he was trying to move some of the dead brush and trees out of the way because there was so much smoke coming up from Southern California, with everything going on, yeah, it was very strange, very, very strange. Like there were instances where you could just feel like something wasn't right.
Mm.
It just was not right around that area.
Yeah, really strange.
Yeah.
And, you know, even this article kind of comments on that, too. So it says Mount Shasta, located near the Oregon border in Northern California. By the way, for members, if since it is only members watching this right now, if you have, like, a weird Mount Shasta story, put it in the comment section. I'd love to read that. But it says it holds the distinction of being one of the world's preeminent sacred mountains. It's recognized as an eligible Native American cultural and cosmological property on the National Register of Historic Places. Artifacts found in the surrounding area conservatively suggest at least 11,000 years of human habitation, designating this region as one of the longest occupied areas in North America. On a clear day, Mount Shasta can be seen from over 100 miles away. The mountain, part of the 1,000-mile-long Cascade Range stretching from Northern California to British Columbia, is one of the largest stratovolcanoes in the world, rising to an altitude of 14,179 feet. It is also part of a chain of volcanoes that encompasses the Pacific Basin's notorious Ring of Fire, along with the majority of the planet's earthquake and eruptions occur. A volcanic eruption from Mount Shasta could match or exceed the scale of the 1980s eruption of Mount St. Helens. The effects of an eruption of the surrounding towns close to the base of the mountain are predicted to be catastrophic, and because volcanoes stay active for years after an eruption, the region may have to be closed off to the public for a very long time. Now, what's interesting about this is it was an ancient understanding. Mike Heiser has wrote about this. We've interviewed Mike Heiser about cosmic geography and stuff,
mm-hmm.
about this idea. But it was an ancient understanding. It was the understanding that mountains were the home of the gods. So, you know, even the Greeks had Mount Olympus. But it seems every culture had that. I mean, even Yahweh had his mountain. You know, he had Mount Sinai.
And so
it was this understanding. Now, what if there's truth to that? What if fallen angels, because God has his mountain, what if fallen angels decided to copycat and pick mountains for themselves? And what if Mount Shasta is one of these mountains?
It's a possibility. I wouldn't doubt it. It's creepy. And it's beautiful, but oh my gosh, you're just sometimes, like I said, my sister and I would just have eerie feelings up in Northern California. It's just odd.
Very strange. Yeah, there's even theories that there might be a dimensional doorway somewhere there, and that's how these creatures kind of come and go, and why all these sightings keep popping up. We got a picture here.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I got a couple pictures that I'll screen share for you guys. Here's the first one. This is not the fire one. Hold on. This is a normal one.
And what is this? Sure. All right, is this the view of snow-capped Mount Sinai?
This is snow.
Or Mount Shasta, excuse me.
Mount Shasta. This is snow-capped. This is
okay.
That one.
Very beautiful.
Okay, yep. And let's go to... Okay.
This is sunrise on Mount Shasta. Is that the one you're going
the
to?
The one where it says it's burning. Yeah.
Yeah, it says Mount Shasta's fuse is already burning, and experts all agree it's not a matter of if Mount Shasta will erupt again, but when.
But when, yeah.
All right, so there's a picture of, and the caption on this one says it's a sunrise on
sunrise
Mount Shasta.
And then, okay, now we're going to go to this. This is what I saw. This is exactly what I saw.
Is this the lake?
This is Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
This is distance. The caption is distance. This is exactly what I saw from my aunt and uncle's backyard. This very sight.
Huh.
That's.
Is this the one from Panther Meadows, Mount Shasta, Dustin Neef?
Just says.
Or is it beautiful Mount Shasta at Siskiyou Lake? Or is it view says, of snow-capped Mount Shasta?
No, it just says Mount Shasta distance JPEG.
No, that's the file name. What is the caption on the article?
Let me go back to the article real quick.
Yeah.
Hold on. Do-do-do. Sacred Mountain. View of snow-capped Mount Shasta.
Is that the one?
Okay, yes. That is
yeah,
the
so
one
that,
I'm
that was
about.
Kind of the view that you got?
That is the exact view that I got. And then there's one more with the mist.
Yeah, beautiful Mount Shasta at Siskiyou Lake. That's
yep.
what it says.
That is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful mountain.
All right.
Love it. Okay.
So.
Moving on.
It says that it's, you know, it's a sacred mountain throughout history that mankind has always been drawn to mountains with a sacred feature of the landscape. It's likely that mountains are among the oldest places of worship on the planet. The first temples. They figure prominently in the earliest religious myths of mankind, and our connection to them is so powerful that many of the world's oldest monuments, such as the Egyptian and Mayan pyramids, were obviously built in their semblance. So, you know, they built these things to make them look like mountains. You know, and that makes sense. You know, if a pharaoh saw himself as God and they believed that the gods reside in mountains, he would want his own mountain. Now it's
to be buried in.
Yeah, to be buried in it. Yeah, because it's weird that you don't see thrones on top of there or anything.
Right.
They were more of tombs, but the Great Pyramid wasn't, which is strange.
Yeah, that is weird.
So, let's see. Where are we at? Pyramids. Okay. Northwestern California Native American tribes traditionally view Mount Shasta as being structurally and energetically connected to a wide range of important volcanic landscapes and mountains, which extend northwards and southwards of their tribal territories. The primordial spiritual connection is believed to link all these energetically powerful sites together, including Mount Shasta, Lesson Peak, Lava Beds, Medicine Lake Highlands, Crater Lake. There's been a lot of weird stuff that's happened at Crater Lake, as well as many other lesser landmarks found throughout the region. Yeah, Crater Lake has a connection with like UFO sightings and some really weird stuff.
We recently watched something on that. Very fascinating.
It says pulses of human occupation surrounding Mount Shasta has been traced back to around the end of the last ice age, some 11,000 years ago, marking this area of Northern California as one of the oldest continually occupied regions in North America. More recent discoveries suggest there may have been substantial human occupation there along the Northern California-Nevada border going as far back as 14,000 years ago. And I know some people get hung up on the dates and they're like, but the Earth is only 6,000 years ago. It's just wherever you fall on the age of the earth debate, just it was a long time ago. Yeah. It's very old.
Clearly, it's old.
There's a lot of mythical significance. So Mount Shasta's vast antiquity and mythic relevance places its significance on par historically and categorically with other sacred sites found along the world's oldest known civilizations, including the temples and pyramids of Egypt, Stonehenge and Mayan pyramids, and Machu Picchu. From a philosophical and spiritual standpoint, Mount Shasta is far more powerful and impressive than anything ever built by man. And the reason is because there is a creator God that the Bible describes as our creator as well, and he's an artist, and he makes some really beautiful stuff that, unfortunately, other spiritual entities want to use for their own evil purposes.
Of course.
But it is a creator-made temple and monument half a billion years old. In an abstract geological sense, Mount Shasta is still alive and under construction, and it will continually erupt, regenerate, and change forms far into the future. Native Americans have observed Mount Shasta as a sacred mountain from time immemorial. They viewed the mountain and its surroundings as holy grounds. It's thought to be one of the first earthly places created by what they call the Great Spirit. So in the past, no one but medicine men or women climbed up to the medicine men or medicine women.
Yeah.
Climbed up the mountain beyond the tree line. It was thought to be too powerful for ordinary people to visit and inhabited by hosts of potentially dangerous spirits and guardians who could harm a person who traveled up the mountain unprepared. And you know what? That's another copycat thing of God, because God established the temple where only the priests, and only after they were cleansed, they could enter into the temple.
Yes.
Satan, he doesn't have any original thoughts of his own. You know, fallen angels, the enemy, they don't have any original thoughts of their own.
They just steal ideas and
they borrow
things
from God, and they take, because they can't create anything. Anything that could or would be created is only created by God.
Yep.
So they don't have anything else to draw from.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep doing the same thing, and they think that they can do it better. But really, with the fallen angels as the gods, that's more of an oppressive role than the freedom that we find in our God and in our Savior Jesus Christ. So I better watch how much I talk about Jesus, or I'll be accused of selling the gospel.
Oh yeah,
I'm kidding. None of our members would do that.
No,
that's a joke.
Our members are amazing.
Yeah, you guys are great. But it says Mount Shasta's significance as a power spot for non-Indigenous people did not begin until the 19th century. The naturalist John Muir described the mountain's peak as a religious icon and helped to spread its legendary fame. Since its discovery, it quickly became one of California's must-see tourist destinations. There are many tangible and intangible qualities which make a mountain sacred, and some of these qualities go beyond its mere appearance. Mount Shasta isn't the tallest mountain in the West, but it is the most legendary. A sacred mountain tends to possess unusual characteristics which are more than just the accumulation of natural processes. There is, we feel, something different about a sacred mountain which cannot be easily explained, something that makes it exceptional. It possesses a kind of energy that's unique to itself, which can be sensed and felt as much as seen. It draws people to it inexplicably, mysteriously. The power of such a mountain, writes Lama Anagarki Govindara.
Govinda?
Govinda? There's a direct quote by that dude.
or woman
is so great and yet so is so great and yet so subtle that without compulsion pilgrims are drawn to the mountain from near and far, as if by the force of some invisible magnet, and they will undergo untold hardships and privations in their inexplicable urge to approach and worship the sacred spot. Nobody has conferred the title of sacredness upon such a mountain. By virtue of its own magnetic and psychic emanations, the mountain is intuitively recognized to be sacred. It needs no organizer of its worship. Innately, each of its devotees feels the urge to pay it reverence, end quote. So isn't that interesting? You know, that makes me wonder, is there still a false god perched atop, you know, Mount Shasta, or at least using that? You know, we use that as metaphorical language. We wouldn't suggest that if you go up there, you're going to see an
god
sitting there.
Right.
Yeah. but that maybe this thing is like a channeling conduit to try to get people to really turn away from Christ, who might have turned to Christ, but instead draw them to this mountain so they feel, you know, more of a peace with nature. You know, a lot of New Agers are into this kind of stuff. What do you think?
It's a quite possible. I have an interesting story to tell. It's like kind of like a dream that I had years and years and years ago, and this subject has kind of reminded me of it. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you the dream first. I had a dream that I was in a mountain, like inside a mountain. Like there's no cave into it, just inside somewhere, and there is a waterway inside of it. And it was, I remember looking at the earth in it. It was black and sparkly, like very, very unreal. And the water was very blue. And the reason why I bring this up, and there's just like no way in or out. I was just there. The only reason why I bring this up is because when we were watching some of the interesting stuff on Mount Shasta and things like that, people were saying that you would be, we're kind of commenting on similar things of what it would be like inside this mountain.
The same kind of features and
stuff?
Same
kind of features and things. Huh. Which was really fascinating, and it kind of reminded me of that dream I had. I don't remember how old I was.
Interesting.
And I don't remember what mountain it was. I was just inside this mountain in this cave area.
That didn't have that just, it, a physical entrance.
No physical entrance or exit at all. Just I saw this running river underneath of it, and that the earth was like black onyx, sparkly even.
Wow.
And like there was light coming from somewhere, but it came with like from within the mountain, not from some cave or some or opening in the cave or anything like that. It was just almost emitting its own light. Like when you look at a geode, you see how it sparkles.
Yeah.
But it was like that, but it was emitting its own light.
Wow.
It was very fascinating. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's something like really truly there.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Interdimensionally wise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because if you think of a fallen god or a false god as an extra dimensional being, I mean, that's how I understand them. They're evil extra dimensional beings. They wouldn't need, I mean, if they're going to have a mountain as a home, they would not need a physical entrance to get inside of, you know, if they have a palace or something. Or something like you and you know what you described, that would only be the physical slice of whatever the complete picture is. You know, we wouldn't be able to see the extra dimensional nature of what's going on, but they wouldn't need a physical entrance. So it could very well be that if we were to drill into the mountain and go in there, we would find something like that, some caverns that might be set up in that way, and they could be home to these fallen evil deities.
Yeah,
really interesting. So, and that might be why people report this anomalous energy, you know, and a lot of this is like New Age stuff, and you can only really take this so far because it is subjective. There's no way to prove it, really, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. Like you said, you even had like a creepy vibe while you were there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Says, all over the world, there are places anciently known for their anomalous energies and mysterious phenomenon. Today, experts recognize these as sacred sites around the world, influence human consciousness and other living organisms in a number of unusual and remarkable ways. They have become colloquially, I always have trouble saying that word.
That's a weird word.
Known as ancient power spots, places where people commonly experience unusual phenomena such as UFO-related activity, portals into other dimensions. It's funny, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Consciousness-altering experiences and other paranormal phenomena. When one enters into a sacred site of so-called powerful energy, the mind, body, and spirit are instantly affected. The energy at these places can be felt, sensed, doused, photographed, and measured with scientific instrumentation. I'm skeptical of that last one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll say, they'll take an EMF reader, like electromagnetic field reader, and they'll say that anytime like an EMF reader spikes, that is something mystical
and paranormal.
And paranormal. It doesn't have to be that.
It can be.
Like the electromagnetic field is dynamic. It changes in a lot of different areas for a lot of different reasons.
Right.
There's nothing to say that it has to be something spiritual like that. It could be. I'm just saying that
we as human beings give off a certain amount of electromagnetic, you know, activity. So you're standing next to somebody else who has a higher electromagnetic, you know, like field, because it just depends. It depends on the minerals that are in your body, the vitamins you take, things like that. You will either decrease or increase your electromagnetic, field.
And that's what light is anyway. I mean, light itself, photons, a photon is a vibration in the electromagnetic field. That's all light is. That's all a photon is. So it's a light anyway. So anyway, so it's just, I think it's too easy for some people to fall into, if
it's paranoid, it's ghosts, it's ghosts.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about the so-called scientific evidence, because they say scientific evidence a lot, and then when you look into it, a lot of times it's stuff like that.
I know, and it makes me so angry with some of these shows. They just try to come up with like the most unrealistic thing, like, oh experts are baffled by this, when they're not. They're not
ancient
baffled.
Ancient Aliens is like that strange evidence, a show that we... We just discovered is really bad with that.
The first season was great. And then it's like they started grasping for straws, like, scientists
worry that this is going to be the end of mankind, or experts worry. It's like, no, they don't.
No, they truly do not.
Like the blue dog one. I thought that was so dumb.
That was exactly in my mind when you said that. That is exactly in my mind. And I'm like, the blue dog. I'm like,
so for those who don't know, Strange Evidence is the show that they take like videos that people post, like viral videos, or people, whatever. They take these videos that are just kind of strange or odd, and then they examine them to see what's really going on. And the first season was fine, but then they got really weird. So there is, and with really not that great, like not that extreme videos. So there was one where they had these blue dogs in, I think, Mexico or something.
Yeah, it was Mexico.
Yeah, it was just a video of just some blue dogs. And they went on this show, examining it, talking about, like, what could this mean for the population of the world?
It's mutant dogs taking over mankind.
Yeah, they're like, experts worry that this is a canine mutation that could cross over into human beings. And it wasn't any of that. Like, and here's the thing. They stopped telling people the actual conclusion. There are conclusions to all these videos, but they stopped telling people what it is.
They hyped it all up because it looked like those dogs, and it was brought up. Like if you take too much silver, you turn blue. It's kind of like that. But it also could be...
I think it was just they got into some hair dye or something. Or they got into some blue paint. Because they were in like a trash yard. I mean...
Yeah, so, I mean... environment isn't exactly clean.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff they could have got into. It doesn't have to be this crazy genetic hybridized virus that's going to wipe out mankind. It just got so sensational. I mean...
I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah. And Ancient Aliens is like that, too.
Remember we would scream at the TV at Ancient Aliens, like, oh, you guys are so stupid.
Yeah. So when they say scientific evidence, that because of stuff like that, I'm really skeptical.
Like, prove it. You won't.
Yeah. So it says... the spiritual use of these major power spots around the world is now beginning to be thought of as the unifying influence behind the rise of human civilization. Previously, it was believed that spirituality arose only after mankind had already developed farming and villages, and religion was subsequently invented as a coercive means to promote social cooperation and control. No one really legitimately believes that. Atheists who don't study the topic will believe that, because it gets them out of having to really wrestle with the idea of God and that, how, philosophically even a type of creator God logically must exist, just using reason and logic alone. Only ignorant atheistic type people will say that religion was just invented as a means to control people. No, it's not, because we already have like law and stuff for that.
Yeah,
like they wouldn't to control people. I'm getting fired up. But to control people, it's always through force. It's not through like a coercive, like, let's try to convince you that... And like, I know the only time force isn't used is when there's a law in place preventing the force.
Right.
So you do get, like, mind control kind of stuff today. Like, you get stuff like Ancient Aliens that indoctrinates people into the alien idea, for example. So that is, like, a coercive effort to change to in a sense, control people. But really, it's to convince people to take on a new paradigm in order for us all to accept this new age stuff, so we can all get away from God. That's the coercion. Ancient religion wasn't like that. If if leaders in ancient civilization wanted their subjects to do something, they would force them physically to do it. That's why
under
you had
penalty
like
of
slavery
death.
In Egypt, and you had like even the Romans occupying Israel. I mean, religion wasn't it's just so ignorant.
I know.
It drives me crazy because it's a popular idea, but there's no basis in it. Like there's no reason to really believe that except for somebody that doesn't want to deal with the question of God, because it might mean if a God exists, it might mean they don't get to live exactly how they want to live. They have a responsibility to their creator and they don't want to admit that. Anyway, I could go on about that, but
it says,
it turns out, however, this theory is completely backwards. Now it's beginning to be understood that mankind's spiritual awakening actually precipitated the rise of human civilization. Humanity's earliest spiritual experiences drew diverse groups of people to come together who invariably clustered around the locations where most of the world's major sacred sites and great spiritual centers exist today. People came together at these sites for ritualistic and ceremonial purposes, and this, it turns out, created the need for people to form communities, to grow food, to accommodate the large populations gathering at these sites all over the world, and subsequently develop farming, villages, cultures, and social cooperation. Mount Shasta is one of these places, an ancient sacred mountain pilgrimage destination whose mysteries still call out to us from the past and continue to challenge our comprehension in the modern era. I don't know that it's necessarily that either. I mean, I guess it's closer to the truth, the idea that, you know, people gathered for religious reasons a sacred area, and
sure.
then they had to develop farming and communities because of that. You know, I mean, I guess you could make that case, but still, there's just so much of that that's just like, there's so many New Age elements of that, you know, but it does seem, you know, I mean, God formed the nation of Israel, and he called people to a certain location, and, you know, he had a location in mind for Jerusalem, and they had to go get rid of the people who are occupying there. So, you know, I guess there's some truth to that, but again, you know, that's what I like about websites like Ancient Origins, but what I don't like about it, I like that they're at least willing to deal with some more spiritual concepts, you know, than any other kind of history site would. But at the same time, the way that they
hype it up,
sensationalize, it's not as bad as some out there, but it's a little New Agey, it's a little anti-Christiany, you know, a little bit. So,
it's just a little wrong.
Yeah. So if you read that website, you gotta. But a lot of times too, it depends on the writer. It depends on what they're talking about. Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
Just take a lot of it with a grain of salt. It's good to look at these websites. It's always good to
for research purposes,
exactly. See where they're coming
from. To gain any kind of spiritual guidance.
No, but right. To see where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, it helps in building your faith on your end, because you can back it up with scripture and other, like, real science.
Yeah. Exactly.
And now you see, like, why some people are just so, I'm going to say, insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, when you get away from the truth for too long, it does kind of drive you crazy, and they gotta heap on more sensationalism.
Yeah,
because
it's aliens.
Yeah, they want to grow their viewer base, but they don't realize what they're actually doing is they're driving people away.
They really are.
Yeah,
and it's just insane. And then they look at the Christian community, and you know, I mean, these people believe in panspermia, but the Christians believe in a God.
Yeah.
What makes more sense? What seems more real?
Well,
obviously we know, I mean, it's God, but
it's because they don't understand theology. They don't understand philosophy,
right.
Really. They have like a cartoonized, like, straw man version of philosophy.
They
that
look
they think,
at what we believe as fluffy clouds and humanoid
like
looking
and,
things with harps.
Yeah,
and that's
nobody,
not at all what we
no
believe.
One believes that.
Nobody.
Only the most infantile of Christians would believe
even
that.
My 2-year-old does not believe that.
Yeah, no one does. It's a characterization of Christians,
right.
That was developed in order to make us look childish.
Yeah.
And but anybody who actually talks to a Christian knows that we're not like that. And of course, all of you guys out there know that we're not like that, because none of you are. We actually have really deep conversations and
really good.
They're so deep and controversial, yep. That YouTube doesn't allow it on their platform most times.
We're too awesome for YouTube.
Well, I don't want to fall into pride, honey.
No, not prideful, just true.
Well, if we take the stance, we're too awesome for YouTube, all it means is that YouTube is just so terrible that something like two fallen, broken human beings like us can be too awesome for them, I guess, because they are so degraded and so awful. So it doesn't speak to our pride. It speaks to their terribleness.
Yes. Because I'm a human being and I'm far from awesome.
Yeah. I think you're awesome.
Oh, I think you. I think you're awesome, too.
Yay. Well, do we have anything to add to the conversation, or you think,
no,
we're, think
just,
we're good to wrap
I'm
it up?
I'm just really happy that people put up with us.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, I'm very blessed for that, for all of you guys.
We have great people.
We do. You guys are awesome. And we're very happy to have you as part of the Daily Renegade family. Thank you for your membership. And listen, tell us if you would be interested in this. We were kind of talking. We might be able to develop a way where if you guys wanted to join the affiliate program, which means that if somebody buys a membership to Daily Renegade using your link, you would get a cut of that sale, say, I don't know, 25%, maybe something like that. Let us know if you're interested in that. If there's actually a demand for that, we can do it. If nobody is interested in that, then we probably won't bother. But if you're interested in that, it might be a way to, I mean, it would definitely help us out, and it might be a way for you to make some extra side money that could help. So let us know if you'd be interested in that. You can just leave a comment on this video. We'll read them and everything. But I guess all that being said, are we good to go?
We're good.
All right.
Good.
Well, thank you all so much. Thank you, Christina, for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoy doing this when I can. So.
Yeah, me too. It's nice to be able to have some time to do it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Until next time, take care and God bless.